जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन बाला जीवन दारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना चेरा बनचारी, यमुना चेरा बनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय नित्य लील प्रविष्ट अष्टतर सतसी सीमन Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Prem se kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurava Purna Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Shama Sunda Gopa Govina Shama Kunda Radha Kundi Giri Govindan Ki Jai. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ke Sri Gaur Purnima Ke Gauravanande. ओम ज्ञानतमरंदस्या जिनंजनशलकया चक्षु उन्मीलितमेन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। मूकं करोति वत्सलं फण्गुमलं जयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनधारिणं। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासिदि गौर भक्तवृंद। Really? That's the best you got? Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, I'm glad we got the kids here. Get a little sound out of the audience. This is their usual Thursday to hear some Gaura Lila anyway, so they're getting their double dose today. Vairagya Vidyanija Bhakti Yoga Shikshashtamika Purusha Purana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Siriridare Kripam Budhir Yashtamaham Prapadye. Let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us real knowledge, his own devotional service, and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. He has descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender unto him. Ananda lilamaya vigrahaya himambi divyachchevi sundaraya tasmai mahaprema rasapadaya chaitanya chandraya namo namaste. Obeisances unto him, see Chaitanya Chandra, the giver of the mellow of the highest love of Godhead, who is the embodiment of blissful pastimes, and who is so beautiful, having a dazzling luster like gold. This is four prayers called the Chaitanya Nama Sotram. Very, very nice prayers glorifying Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya has a fair complexion. He is full of spiritual bliss. He is Lord Krishna himself, Krishna, who manifests in the form of Chaitanya. He resides in Navadvip. He is Jagannath Mishra's son. He is the most perfect and complete Lord. He is the Supreme Brahman, manifesting in the form of a sannyasi. He is the maintainer of all the three worlds. He is the friend of the poor. He gives the gift of Lord Hari's holy names. A person who even once recites these 12 holy names or hears them of Lord Gauranga's mercy will develop ecstatic spiritual love and devotion for the Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of the Lord, whose form is effulgent like gold, whose limbs are fair. He is Sachi's son. Within his heart, he is the dark Lord Sri Krishna himself. These are prayers given in glorification of Lord Chaitanya by great personalities. But we see that there is a long list of persons in our own line that we can appreciate their glorification. Lord Nityananda, he says, Chaitanya Seva, Chaitanya Gao, Lao Chaitanya Nam, Chaitanya Ye Bhakti Kare Se Moru Pram. Lord Nityananda implored, serve Lord Gauranga, sing the holy name of Lord Gauranga, chant Lord Gauranga's name. Those who worship Lord Gauranga in this way, they are my life and soul. Even Narada Muni himself, Gauranga Namaloi, Ye Krishna Bhaja Geya, Se Krishna Bahu Kalipai, Gauranga Nama Lai Jai, Sadha Krishna Paisai, Apurada Nahi Rahitai. If someone endeavors to worship Krishna without regularly chanting the name of Lord Gauranga, then he or she will achieve Krishna only after a very prolonged period of time. But if someone takes shelter of the name of Lord Gauranga, he or she will receive Krishna very soon because his or her offenses will immediately cease to exist. Lochan Das Thakur continues, Hema Gora Kalivara Mantra Chari Ashakara Sahaji Sahaja Vaikuntha Nata Shama. The Lord sits on a golden bejeweled throne. He possesses a complexion millions of times more brilliant than the color of molten gold. He is worshipped by all his devotees by the chanting of the four-syllable mantra raj. He calls it the mantra raj, Gauranga. Narottam Das Thakur continues. Grihe banar, grihe ba banite take, ha Gauranga bole dake, narottama mage tarasanga. One may reside in the house or in the forest, but if one constantly is chanting the holy name of Lord Gauranga, then I, Narottam Das Thakur, want that person's association and want to serve them. And finally, we have a very nice instruction from Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur. In his Chaitanya Charitamrita, he states, why are you lamenting that person whose name of Lord Gauranga has not entered into their ears? So this morning, we're going to try and do away with all lamentation, all difficulties, by immersing our ears, our mind, and hopefully our entire consciousness in the sound vibration of Lord Gauranga. Does that sound like a good idea? Can we get a nice Gauranga? Can we get it again? And of course, three is auspicious. So to speak about our Yuga avatar is no small task. This is one of those times where the quote that Sanatan Goswami gives of being like a dwarf trying to capture the moon is quite applicable. But we know also from Chaitanya Charitamrita that one who for Chaitanya, those things that are difficult become very easy. And of course, if one forgets Lord Chaitanya, those things that are easy become very difficult. So with this verse in mind, I humbly offer this attempt to give some pleasure to the Vaishnavas by speaking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The clear understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's description as Tri Yuga Avatar is given in many different places. One particular place that we find an explanation of this and a understanding for our benefit is in the Chaitanya Upanishad. The Chaitanya Upanishad, this particular section, these are conversations between Pipalada Muni and Lord Brahma. And there is a very clear distinction and understanding given by Lord Brahma, so much so that I thought to read these verses would be very appropriate, because sometimes those persons that are not necessarily in the line of Lord Chaitanya or in our particular sampradaya may question the divinity of Mahaprabhu, if he actually is the personality of Godhead. Maybe that's just our sentiment because we worship him and like that. But here we can see, Pipalada followed the instructions of the Lord and asked Lord Brahma, "Oh my Lord, please tell me how the sinful living entities in the Kali Yuga may be delivered. Who should be the object of their worship? What mantra should they chant in order to be delivered? Kindly inform me of this." Lord Brahma then replied, "Listen carefully, for I shall give you a confidential description of what will happen in the Kali Yuga. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the Supreme Enjoyer, whose form is transcendental, who is beyond the touch of the three material nature, and who is the all-pervading supersoul residing in the heart of all living entities, will appear again in the Kali Yuga. Appearing as the greatest devotee, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will assume a two-armed form of golden complexion in his abode of Goloka Vrindavan, manifested on the bank of the Ganges in Navadvip. He will disseminate pure devotional service in the world. This incarnation of the Lord is described in the following verses. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the master of all transcendental potencies, and who may be known only by devotional service, appears in innumerable transcendental forms. He has appeared with red, black, and white complexions. And he shall also appear in the golden form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He shall assume the role of a perfect devotee, and he will teach the conditioned souls the path of devotional service. One who understands Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known by study of the Vedanta philosophy, who is the cause of the origin of the universe, who is the oldest, the original person. That individual crosses beyond this world of birth and death. This is the proper understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And aside from this, there is no other way to achieve liberation. Appearing in his golden form, the all-powerful Supreme Lord will fill the entire universe with transcendental bliss. Chanting is his own holy name. One who worships the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with devotion and always remembers him, becomes free from all sins and becomes completely pure. Even understanding the truth about the personality of Godhead and becoming free from all material lamentation, such a devotee attains the supreme goal of life, which is unattainable by those adverse to the Supreme Lord, known as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is a very nice thing for us to remember, that the Lord in his covered incarnation in this age is not to be mistaken as having abandoned the residence of Kali Yuga. Each of the other incarnations, we find that the Lord appears to carry out a particular purpose. The covered incarnation, as he described, means that he keeps his supreme potency, he keeps his energies a bit out of sight. When we try to understand the Lord of Vaikuntha, the Supreme Enjoyer, the source of some personality who would hide his own identity, there's a nice explanation this is done, and it was given in Tuesday's class by Sesha Prabhu. It is all about Leela. The Leela indicates that this is an action that is performed for his own pleasure, for the pleasure of his devotees. The idea of, well, why would he hide himself and what would be his reasoning behind that? Of course, we understand that there is the deepest appreciation that he wanted to realize, why is it that the devotees love me so much? Krishna is thinking, why do the devotees have so much attraction and appreciation for me? So in this way, he took this form. And the other reason we understand is also to set the proper example as to how devotees behave. Throughout the course of time, we know from the Bhagavad Gita that the process of religion becomes muddied, becomes lost, and not as focused. So in this age of Kali, because things are so degraded, the Lord himself has appeared to set the standard. And this is part of his lila. This is why he has come in this covered way, to give us the benefit of seeing firsthand, here is how to behave as a devotee. And actually, when you stop and look at it, it's really quite amazing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead would do such a thing, would act in such a way for our own benefit to save all of the conditions of this age. Now, this nature of being a covered personality is particularly prominent in his early Navadvip Lila. And this is where he's hidden completely the Supreme Personality of Godhead factor. The identity as the Lord is not known, and he intentionally keeps it out of sight for the enjoyment of these particular pastimes, as we mentioned, for the Lila. So we're all very familiar with the early childhood pastimes. These are given very elaborately, and usually on Gaur Purnima, because it's the birth, we discuss these. But I wanted today to talk about more of the later Navadvip pastimes. As Mahaprabhu leaves his baby pastimes and passes through his childhood and enters into his adolescence and becomes a young man, he continues to keep this identity as the personality of Godhead covered, much to the enhanced enjoyment of the pastimes that take place during that particular time. This time period is when Nimai Pandit has begun to establish a school, and he has many, many students at this time. This is at about the 11th year of his presence. So we can kind of imagine, I think we have some 11-year-old children in the audience, right? Any of you that are 11? Yeah, a handful. So at this age, Mahaprabhu has established a school and started teaching students. And we might think this is pretty amazing until we realize it was at the age of 8 that he had completely mastered all the teachings he had been given. Of course, I mean, what amazement is there to say that the personality of Godhead mastered teachings, mastered some learning and some education? I mean, well, he could do it the minute he, you know, but for the sake of this particular pastime, these are all very early manifestations of his activities. So at this time, this school that he established was not a school to teach the principles of devotional service. It was not a school based on teaching the loving service of the personality of Godhead. It was a school based upon grammar and rhetoric, on Smriti and Nyaya. This was the established school of thought at this time. This was also the same time period at which Vishvarupa left home and took up the sannyas order, leaving his mother and father, and in this way, a bit of distress for them. And then it was in that same time period that Mahaprabhu's own father departed from this world. So he took the sole responsibility of staying and taking care of his widowed mother and consoling her in this way. So establishing these pastimes in Navadvip fit into the entire picture of everything else that was going on. During this time, it was at the age of 14 that he was married to Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi, of course, was the daughter of Ballabha Acharya, and who also lived in Nadia. We won't go into these details in elaborate form because they've been spoken about many times, and there's other things we want to talk about today. During this time, he was considered one of the best scholars in all of Navadvip, the best. Navadvip was the seat of all education and scholarly achievement in Bengal. It was recognized by everyone, and anyone that wanted to study these matters, anyone that wanted to excel in them, would go and reside there, find someone and take their learning there. The educated men at that time were not, here again, based in the principle of devotional service, and most of them were greatly afraid of Nimai Pandit. The Smarta Brahmanas, all the different scholars, they actually avoided him. Because even from a principle of just grammar and rhetoric, he could defeat anyone on any argument. And he would regularly meet people or have discussions with people where he would defeat them on a point and then turn right back around and take their point and defeat the points he had just made, leaving them completely confused as to which was the reality. So in this way, he was extremely educated and knowledgeable to the point that these persons would avoid him. Nobody wanted to argue with him because they couldn't defeat him. One particular individual at this time was Mukunda. Mukunda was a close associate of Advaita Acharya, and he was understood to be a Vaishnava, and he would regularly avoid Mahaprabhu. If Mahaprabhu was walking down the street, and Mukunda would be coming from the other way, and Mukunda would look up and see Mahaprabhu, turn and walk off the other direction. He didn't want to. So one day, Mahaprabhu was walking with the students, and this happened. He looked up and he saw, oh, off in the distance, there's Mukunda. Mukunda looked up and saw, oh, there's that Nimai Pandit. He cut off to the left and went a different path. So Nimai turned to one of his senior students and said, wasn't that Mukunda? Yes, Mahaprabhu, that was Mukunda. He has turned and gone away. Do you know why he would have done that? Oh, he probably has some other business to attend on a different path, and so he just, you know, went to take care of that. Nimai Pandit said, no. I know why he has done that. He is trying to avoid me. He does not like to argue with me because I always defeat him. You mark my word. One day, Mukunda, as well as all of the Brahmins of Navadvip, as well as all of the demigods, will come to the door of my home and worship my feet. So such a bold statement he made. You know, I was quite sure about what this meant. So another time, they were walking, and Mukunda was not able to escape. Nimai Pandit caught him and said, you're always avoiding me. Oh, no, I'm not avoiding you. I just, you know, business to attend here and there, you know, this and that. I didn't want to waste your time. No, I have one thing I want to discuss with you. And he started some debate going on. And Mukunda was this and that. And anyway, somehow or another, after some defeat, Mukunda went away. As Mukunda was leaving, he was thinking, this Nimai Pandit, if we could just get him to become a Vaishnava, it would do so much for the teaching of Vaishnava thought. So in this way, this is how covered Nimai Pandit's activities were, that even those that debated and discussed with him couldn't understand who he was. It was common at this time that Nimai would go throughout Navadvip. One particular time, he had taken his meal at home, nice meal offered by Lakshmi Devi, and had taken some slight nap afterwards. The nap was finished. He rose from nap, rinsed his hands and feet, and gathered some disciples. Let's go for a walk. So they went throughout Navadvip. And as he was going through, he came upon a clothwala, kadiwala. And he said, oh, and he stopped in to the man's shop, and the man was very, very pleased to see him. It mentions how when Mahaprabhu was walking, he had the gait of an elephant. He was very noticeable and very proud when he was walking, and he was dressed in the finest of cloth and jewels. And so he stopped in this man's shop, and the man was very pleased. He said, oh, please, please, sit down. Nimai Pandit sat down, and he said to him, he said, show me your finest cloth. So immediately the merchant brought out several different samples of cloth, you know, showed this, that, and the other. Nimai said to him, so what is the value of this? He said, oh, no, for you it is free. I'm giving it to you. Oh, you're giving it to me? That means it must have no value. It's the stuff you don't want. He said, no, this is the most expensive. I'm giving it to you. You are a Brahmin. I'll give to you in charity. You take with you like this. So Mahaprabhu looked and he took a charter and threw it over his shoulder and smiled very nicely and went on his way. It mentions that he cast back a very auspicious glance to the merchant as he departed his shop. Now, this is interesting on a couple of levels because Mahaprabhu at this time was not poor by any means. The nature of being a debating was that you would receive great wealth and riches from others. Matter of fact, in Navadvipa, everyone accepted that he was the topmost of scholarly persons and so regularly gifts and jewels and edibles were being brought to his home, so he was very well to do. So he had no need to go shop to shop begging, you know, with his cloth out, but this was all part of the transcendental pastimes that he enacted with the different shopkeepers. So he continued on and he came to the Dudwala, as we say, to the cowherdmen. And the cowherdmen were very, very, very happy to see him. They received him in. And he said to Nimai, said, bring me your best curds, your best milk, your best yogurts. So just like in the Abhishek here shortly, we're going to be bathing Lord Chaitanya with the best milk we have from Chaita Guru's cows. We didn't buy from the store. He's provided from his own cows. So we have some nice cow milk. So at any rate, the cowherdmen, they were so enchanted, this most beautiful personality, the most beautiful personality in the entire universe. They gave him a nice seat as they were able to. They referred to him as their maternal uncle. And so there was some exchanging words back and forth, some light joking between them because they were coward men. They were not big scholars or anything. So a few things. And then they brought before Nimai Pandit some nice selections of milk and yogurt and curds and things like this. And Nimai ate a little of this, a little of that, everything. Very, very satisfied. He took till he was completely satisfied. And then he went on his way to the next shop. So blessing also the cowherd men. So the next shop he came to was the Itarwala, or the perfume sellers. So in this store, of course, the finest selection of oils. When we're offering oils to the deities, we always try very hard to get the best oils. Someone might leave a bottle of oil as a donation, and you look and you roll this in, and you can tell it's not so nice. But then other times, people bring the finest of oils, and it's just so fragrant. So this particular shop had all the finest of fragrances and oils. And Nimai came in and sat down in a shop, and he said to the merchant, he said, bring me the finest of your perfumes. So the merchant, he selected a few of his very best. He brought them out, and Nimai said to him, what is the price? And the shopkeeper said, Nimai Pandit, he said, you know everything. You pay me as you like to. There is no set price for you. How can I ask a particular price? Mahaprabhu said, no, I'm not going to take today. I'll leave you sample one or two things. And he took bottles and poured them all over his body, lathered himself in all the fragrant oils like this, and shopkeeper was very, very happy. So in this way, he smilingly gave his blessings to the perfume merchant and went on his way. So next he came to the garland maker. And of course, we've all seen out in front of the different temples in India, there are rows and rows. They have their piles of garlands and sometimes actually a shop and, you know, all the different types of flowers and everything there. And seeing the beautiful form of Nimai Pandit come past the front of their shop, the flower merchant offered him his best seat. Please come, my dear sir, have a seat here. And bring some drinks, bring some drinks. Sometimes if you go to Ganga Prasad, you know, actually you go to any shop nowadays, they arrange to give some drinks for you like that. So it brought some drinks and some kind words like that. And so then Nimai said to the shopkeeper, he said, bring me the very best of garlands that you have. But don't tell me the price because I have no money. And the flower merchant said, no, you are a Brahmin. I'm bringing to you, but I will not charge you anything. So he brought forward a selection of the finest garlands, and Nimai Pandit picked out several, put them on him and his associates like this, and then gave him his very kind vision of a blessing, looking upon him with great affection, and then continued on with his students. Went down the road a little further. Next, he came to the Panwala. This is, of course, Navadvipa is filled with so many So the Panwala, he looked out upon the beautiful form walking down the street of Nimai Pandit, and it was just completely the long arms and the beautiful lotus eyes and the shimmering hair and the amazing jewels and the fine cloth. And so he was very, very happy to see him. He was thinking that this Nimai Pandit could even attract Madan Mohan. Even Cupid could not be restrained. So he reached out, he took the dust from Nimai Pandit's feet on his head. The Pawn Wallace said, Ho, today I am very fortunate. He didn't say once, not very fortunate. I'm very, very fortunate. Sometimes you say, I'm so happy. So the Pawn Wallace said, today I'm very, very fortunate. You have come to my shop. He began the nicest pawn, fresh leaf with the different ingredients inside and a nice clove stick to stick in between and hold it very nicely, and gave all of these as a gift in this way. So the Lord took one, very nice, very tasty, and he continued on to the next shop. The next shop he came to was the Shankawala, the conch shell seller. So the conch shell seller sells two types of conch shell products, the bangles, which the ladies wear, and the conch shell, which everyone blows for so many different purposes. So Nimai sat down. He said to the merchant, he said, please bring me the most auspicious, deep-sounding conch shell that you have. Not a tinny one. You know, sometimes you see somebody has one of those conch shells. Usually this is in a home program, not so much in the temple. And they blow it. And conch shell just doesn't, you know. You can't hardly get a sound out of it, you know. One of those little bitty ones. And if you do get a sound, it almost hurts the ears. No, but the big, deep, resounding, auspicious-sounding ones, this is what Mahaprabhu wanted. And he gave him a whole variety of them in a basket. He said, take these home and use them in your home for whatever your service you need is. So in this way, he said, you take all these with you. And he said, you can pay me or not as you like. And Mahaprabhu said, pay you? I have nothing to pay you with. I have no money. So in this way, he accepted the conch shells with great satisfaction. And like this, he passed through the entire town of Navadvip, engaging in different types of relationships with those who are actually his eternal servants, giving them the association of his divine form, and at the same time giving them the blessings of accepting their offerings to them. Now, the next Mahaprabhu stop, very interesting, he stopped at a fortune teller. It was a very well-known fortune teller in Navadvip, very expert. He was very well-respected. So he came to the man's house and he said, I understand people's previous births. Yes, that's I'm capable of that, yes. He said, so please, you my previous birth. Yeah, please sit down. He gave him a very nice seat. He said, just one moment. He said his ashram, just said his prayers, invoking the different personalities. He said, okay, now let me look here. And he started to recite his Gopal mantra. He was the worshiper of Bal Gopal, Vaishnava. So he was worshiping. So he started to recite his Gopal mantra. In reciting his Gopal mantra, he saw this amazing manifestation of the forearm Narayana. The conch, the club, the lotus, the disc, and the arms, they're all there, and the Kastuba jewel around the neck, and the Srivats on the chest, and continued chanting his Gopal mantra, and then this form of Narayan manifested into the form of baby Krishna, just having taken birth from Devaki in the prison of Kamsa, and then being carried across the Jamuna River by Vasudev into Gokul, and then as a small boy growing up in Gokul, appreciated by all the people, and dressed only in some jewelry and some remnants of butter around his mouth. And in this way, the fortune teller was meditating on his Gopal mantra, and then he saw his own Gopal deity before him, and he became very, very amazed. So he stopped for a moment and scratched his head, apologized. Oh, I'm sorry, let me just do again. He said his achman again, and started to chant his mantra again. And this time he saw the threefold bending form of Shamsundar, surrounded by thousands of gopis, dancing with them, and the gopis were serenading him with different types of musical instruments. And then he saw the entire presentation of all of the pastimes of Krishna from 5,000 years ago in Vrindavan. Then he stopped, and he prayed to his Gopal, my dear Gopal, who is this Brahman in front of me? How is it that I'm not able to perform my usual? So he, I'm sorry, let me try again. He's Achman again. He said his Gopal mantra. And then this time, he saw Ramchandra sitting on the grand throne, the kingdom of Ayodhya. Then he saw Lord Vraha with the earth up on the end of his tusks. And then he saw Vamanadeva giving his mercy to Bali Maharaj. Then he saw Nrisingadeva bursting forth from the pillar, Matsya, Brahma, Balaram, rather. And then finally he saw Jagannath, Baladeva, and Subhadra all right there together. He was very confused by all of this. He couldn't understand what's going on. At this point, Nimai Pandit interrupted. Hey, you, Brahmana, fortune teller. You're supposed to be such a gifted man. All you're doing is sitting there looking confused. You know something or not? The fortune teller was very sorry. He said, come back in the afternoon. I'll chant my mantra again and see what I can do in the afternoon. Nimai Pandit smiled to himself, said, all right, I'll come back later. He went off. So in this way, in different scenarios, he was showing his mercy to different personalities. After this, he then went to the house of Sridhar Kolavesha. This was his regular occurrence to go to Sridhar's house. Sridhar was a humble brahmana who made a living, eked out a living by selling banana products. Not even the bananas. The banana products, banana cups, banana leaves, like that. Now, it's Bengal. It's tropical. There's banana trees growing everywhere. So maybe not the best line of work to go into. But this, and everything that Sridhar got, whatever income he had, he split it in half, and he used half of it to worship Mother Ganga and half of it to maintain his home, which was quite difficult. There was a hole in the roof. The door was on one hinge worked. He only had a couple of pieces of cloth, you know, an old rusty cast iron bowl at the door. He didn't have many possessions, but Lord would go to visit him. So when he arrived, Nimai Pandit said to Sridhar, he said, you're always chanting, Hari, Hari, Hari. Yes. He said, but you're very unhappy. He said, you're serving the husband of the goddess of fortune, but you just have a little bit of rice, hardly any clothing, and your shacket is all falling apart. Why is that? And Sridhar said, if I get or don't get, it doesn't matter. It's not an important thing to me. And my Pandit said, no. This place you live in, it's so worn out. You have hardly anything, and you hardly manage. You know, just see the worshippers of Durga. They're living in the city. Big, nice house and all edibles and luxurious clothing. And you're the personality of Godhead and you hardly are getting by. So Sridhar said, a king, he is living in a splendid palace, and a bird, he is living in the tree. The Lord is taking him accordingly. Nimai Pandit said, no. I know the real secret. You have wealth and you're hiding it from me. You're keeping your wealth hidden because you don't want anyone else to know about it, and you don't want anyone else to take any of it. Otherwise, how is it possible that anybody could live in the condition you're living in unless they actually had wealth? Day after day you live like this, you're hiding it from all of us. Now, of course, this is true. Sridhar was hiding some wealth, and that was his pure devotion to the Lord. It did not manifest in the external trappings of a beautiful home and luxurious clothing and nice edibles. He was living a very simple, humble, poor life, but he was very rich in his service. Sridhar said, all right, just say whatever you want. Go home and don't bother me anymore with all of your arguing and your debating back and forth. Nimai Pandit said, no, I am not going anywhere with some of your wealth. I know you have it. You must share it with me. Go away from this house empty-handed. So Sridhar said, what wealth? All I have are some banana leaves, some banana stalks. Oh, I have some muli, some radishes. He also sold a few radishes. So he said, that's all I have. I have no wealth. But of these things, you can take whatever you like. So Nimai Pandit looked through some banana leaves. Okay, a few banana cups. Oh, and some radishes. Yes. So yes. You take whatever you like, Sridhar said. But just don't argue with me like this. You come here every day. You see what you want, you take it and go away, but just don't argue with me. So Nimai Pandit laughed and laughed with his arms filled with radishes and banana leaves. He said, yes, I won't argue with you anymore. I'll just come and take your radishes and banana leaves. So as he was preparing to leave, it mentions the Sridhar came forward with one more thing before you go. A very nice preparation made out of gore and milk. I don't know exactly what that preparation is or how it's made, but I bet it was pretty tasty. So in this way, Nimai Pandit would go throughout Navadvip and enact his different pastimes with different devotees. All the while, his fame and his reputation growing. Now, we know the story of the Digvijay. Digvijay actually had a name. Digvijay was a description, like the president or the mayor. So Digvijay was the title. The person's name was Keshava Kashmiri. So this Digvijay, he had understood Navadvip was, you know, the seat of knowledge and learning and education. He decided, you know, if I can conquer Navadvip, then I will have the greatest, you know, this is the seat of learning. So his idea was to come to Navadvip, find the topmost of the different brahmanas and all, debate with them, get his certificate of authority, and, you know, go away like this. So, of course, one of the reasons for doing this was to acquire wealth, because this was when you debated with these personalities, you know, you had to actually gift at the end of losing. Not only that, but the system was that you had to pay tax for the rest of your life to that person that defeated you. So, you know, a wealthy person. So, you know, he actually traveled. He didn't travel on foot. We might think, oh, he went from village to village. He traveled on a palanquin carried by two men. And, you know, surrounded by all of his... So anyway, he entered in Navadvip and he sought out Nimai Pandit, who had heard so much about it. He saw a large gathering of students there, and there was one person sitting and talking. So he approached the person in the back and said, is that Nimai Pandit? Oh, yes, yes, that's Nimai Pandit. Now, Keshava Kashmiri does something at this point, which if any of us were sitting in a class or assembly and saw it happen, would be like, are you kidding me? He's at the back of the room and he weeds his way through the crowd. Excuse me. And goes up and sits right next to Nimai Pandit. You know, someone's giving a class and someone comes in from the back, very big assembly, and pushes their way through. And sits right there. So Nimai Pandit looks at him, smiles, acknowledges him, greets him, begins to offer some praises of his abilities. Oh, you're the Digvijay. And did you know that, like that? You know, give him some words like that. So he says, you're a very learned personality, and I understand that you've been blessed by the Supreme Lord. So what I would like to do is, could you give some praise of Mother Ganges? Just some few words. So the Digvijay, of course, we know the story. Immediately on the spot, 100 verses praising Mother Ganga. Just one right after the next, you know. It wasn't even like, give me a couple minutes. It just flew right out of his mouth. It said that Saraswati was understood to be dancing on the end of his tongue. You know, just like so amazing with these verses. So Nimai Pandit at the end, he's smiling. He said, this is very nice. Said, my dear poet, there is no one like you in the entire world. Your poetry can only be understood by yourself and Mother Saraswati. Now, did anybody catch that? Maybe three or four of you did. That's what you call a backhanded compliment. You're so good. Nobody can understand it except you and Saraswati. The rest of us have no clue what you just said. That was his compliment to Keshava Kashmiri. Of course, this went right over Keshava Kashmiri's head. Yes, yes, it was very wonderful. So Nimai Pandit then said, however, and we all know the story, he said, there were some faults in your presentation. There was no fault in my presentation. What are you talking about? No, there were faults. Now, take from Chaitanya Charitamrita, from Chaitanya Bhagavata, is either three faults or five faults. Anyway, there was a handful of faults. So he said, some faults. So where were those faults? So immediately, Nimai Pandit recited the very verse where the faults were. Now, he just heard 100 verses. I dare say any of us, right now we're in a section where we do 3-4 verses in a row. I dare say after the morning Bhagavatam class, none of us would be able to walk out and then recite any of those 3 or 4 or 5 verses in a row. Sometimes when we're doing the Chaitanya, 6 or 7, 8, 10 verses in a row. What was verse number 8 we did this morning? I don't know. But here, 100 verses. And he recited it. And then he pointed out the fault. Okay, Shiva Kashmiri was amazed both at the Lord's uncanny memory and at his ability to find fault in what he thought was faultless. So his heart began some fear because he had come to conquer Navadvipa. And here, just in the first few minutes of being here and giving his first presentation, Nimai Pandit has completely smashed him. Feeling his anxiety, he explained the merits of that same verse. Well, you say there's some faults, but actually, there was this and that. And then Nimai Pandit said, yes, but here were the faults. And he very clearly pointed it out to him. So the interesting thing that happens next is one of those things that I think is a point that is necessary to make in this pastime that isn't made very often and that is important for us to understand. The Keshava Kashmiri, Digvijaya the Keshava Kashmiri, was quite embarrassed. I mean, he's got his wealth, he's got his titles, he's got his position, and he's now come into Navadvipa in a big, effort to conquer all of Navadvipa, and right off the bat he gets defeated. So he has a very dejected mood, it describes. He has his head hung down, and he stands up to leave the assembly. Now imagine, he's worked his way up to the very front. He's sitting right here. He gets defeated, and now he has to stand up in front of the entire assembly with his head hung and depart. As he leaves, Nimai Pandit's students begin to laugh at him. That foolish Kaspisha, that Digvijaya, I thought he was so smart. What a dummy. And they made some cruel jokes, it says, some at his expense. What do you think happened? Nimai Pandit stopped them. No, do not make jokes. He should be respected. He has made some small mistake. Don't tease him like that. This is the important thing. We should not take pleasure in the misery and the difficulty of others, and we should not make jokes at their expense. And of course, buddies sometimes and forth. Badahari and I do a lot when we're sharing a room together. But, as far as in a serious scenario like that, you don't do those kind of things. At least I think they're funny. I don't know if he... So, Nimai Pandit then says to the Digvijaya, he says, that's all right. You go, you study a little more, and maybe Saraswati, you can try this again later. So, of course, we know that he goes home completely dejected. He takes his rest, and Goddess appears to him, and he implores her, why have you forsaken me? What happened? You're always there for me. She said, I dance on your tongue. Time. I have helped you to conquer everyone. But you were in front of Nimai Pandit, who is none other than the supreme personality of Godhead himself, my Lord and Master. How do you expect me to dance on your tongue in front of him? I cannot do that. You don't realize he is the personality of Godhead, but I know that. Therefore, I cannot do that in front of him. So in this way, the Digvijaya wakes up and he realizes that this is the Supreme Lord. He should surrender to him. He goes the next morning. He surrenders not only himself, but all of his wealth, his riches, his palanquin, everything. And there's a nice conversation that takes place between Nimai Pandit and Digvijaya. Very, very wonderful. At the end of that conversation, Nimai Pandit gives him 2 instructions. Do not reveal to anyone what you and I have spoken about here today, because he acknowledged the fact that, yes, I'm the personality of Godhead. And do not reveal to anyone the dream that Saraswati has given you and what she has said to you as well. So Digvijaya agreed to this. He gave everything up. He became a mendicant, traveling throughout the streets of Navadvipa, just humbly begging whatever he could, and he never spoke a word of these pastimes like that. So this is a very important thing. From this particular pastime, Nimai Pandit gained the name Vadisingha, one who defeats all other isms like a lion. That'd be a nice name for anybody that's got disciples to initiate. Vadisingha. So Vrindavan Das Thakur then states that anyone who hears about the exploits of my pundits conquering the Digvijay, even if they are a fool or uneducated, will gain the highest knowledge and love of Godhead. So that's a blessing we can take away from this pastime. Now, we shouldn't think that Nimai Pandit was without humor. When, after marrying Lakshmi Devi, for some time he had many students, and after some period of time he decided he would travel to East Bengal. And the purpose would be to go and engage in debates and collect, you know, conquer, if you will, and then return home with wealth. This is the way things were done. So he was quite successful in this regards. However, the East Bengalis have a particular way of speaking. There's a certain accent that's different than those of West Bengal. Just like, you know, anybody that knows Boston, you know, it's not a car, it's a car. You don't park the car, you park the car. So go park the car. So we might find that quite humorous, just as the Bostonians would hear somebody down south go, y'all coming over after lunch? And they might think that quite humorous. So there was this difference in dialect and accent. And Lord Chaitanya found this very funny. He would make jokes about it with his students regularly, and they would laugh, you know. They thought this was just... So he finished his activities in East Bengal, back home to Navadvip. Grand reception on his return, big party, big feast, lots of jokes and fun and games. And of course, in the midst of all this, it was great, but let me tell you how they talk in East Bengal. And he would make the imitation again, and everybody would laugh and joke, and all except one elderly Brahmin who approached him and said, you know, you shouldn't make jokes of the way they speak in East Bengal. Your father is from East Bengal. So in this way, even in this manner, sometimes Mahaprabhu. There's another lesson that we can learn from the activities of Nimai Pandit during his Grihastha Lila with Lakshmi Devi particularly. As we mentioned, a celebrated scholar and pundit in great wealth and, you know, comfortable living arrangement. And these gifts were not just kept around his house for his own pleasure. He would regularly distribute presents and foodstuffs and special gifts to the poor people, to unfortunate persons, those that were in need. He was very charitable in this way. And his home was always open to guests. Anytime anyone arrived unexpectedly, they were always greeted very politely and invited to stay for a meal. One time, at the door appeared 20 sannyasis. 20 sannyasis. I know they're supposed to be renounced and all, but boy, can they eat. You put 20 of them together. So Sachimata was a little, she said, there's nothing. Meals are finished. I have nothing. No, I think we could do it. No, I'm telling you that you just go in the kitchen and see if there's something you can prepare. And Sachimata went into the kitchen, and the kitchen was stocked with all types of enjoyable foodstuffs and all types of edibles and ingredients for cooking and containers of ghee and sweets and vegetables and all kinds of things for Sachimata. Sachimata was amazed. How is this possible? Of course, we all know the Supreme Personality of God is not lacking in anything. He is the warehouse of everything is at his disposal. So immediately, Lakshmi Devi went in and joined Sachimata, and they made very nice, elaborate meals for these 20 sannyasis. So this way, Nimai Pandit showed that one should not hoard one's wealth. One should share that wealth with others. And that it's explained that the service of a householder, the root service of a householder, is to take care of guests. That a householder who does not feed his brahmanas or sannyasis that come to his home is considered to be an animal or a bird of the lowest order. something we should remember. Such service causes loss of the propensity for cheating and insincere, untruthful behavior. By serving personalities that come to one's home, not only sannyasis, but just uninvited guests it even refers to, one loses the propensity to cheat and insincere, untruthful behavior. And of course, all those sannyasis that got to take prasadam at the home of Lakshmi Devi were just so happy. I mean, Lakshmi Devi is none other than Lakshmi Devi herself, the Supreme Lord's consort. It actually says that the hankering to get foodstuffs from the hand of Nimai Pandit's wife, Lakshmi Devi, from Sachi Mata's own kingdom, was so strong that the great demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, even great personalities like Vyasadeva and Sukadeva Goswami, all took disguises as brahmanas and mendicants to come to Nimai Pandit's door and eat from his home. So if you desire to serve gods, you can serve the guests very elaborately, and then the demigods will come in disguise to your home like that. One other very instructive point that I'd like to share from Nimai Pandit's Navadvipa Lila is that Nimai Pandit would regularly gather his students for their training, for their classes and education. And he would gather everyone together, and then he would stop, and he would look out very attentively. Who does not have tilak on? And that person, he would go. Now, there was a reason for this, because these were brahmanas. Sit down, Gopal. Be comfortable. You'll get your chance in about 10 years to sit here. Maybe you're going. At any rate, so there was a reason behind this, because these were all educated personalities from Brahmin families that were his disciples. Morning prayers had not performed their morning duties. So it was certainly not to take their education if they hadn't done their morning duties. So this is an important thing. It explains that a forehead without the markings of tilak is like a crematorium grounds. So, those of us engaging in devotional activities have to be very attentive to have one, and engaging in our occupational duties, we can put water tilak on. Every day I take a little charnamrita from Giriraj and put that on and get some protection there. So at any rate, these are just a drop in the endless ocean of the Lord's pastimes, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, given for our benefit, for our pleasure, for our enjoyment. If we take these pastimes as our life and soul, and if we meditate upon these pastimes, if we share these pastimes and let them guide our lives, both on an auspicious day like today and in general, the Lord will be pleased with us, and he'll share blessings on us in the form of awarding us with pure devotional service. Thank you very much. Sri Chaitanya! Sri Krishna Chaitanya! Krishna Chaitanya! Gaura Vemanande! So, before we begin the Abhishek, there's one thing I would just like to point out, a detail of the Abhishek, since this is a public Abhishek that many may not be familiar with. There are two procedures in worshiping the Lord. One is called Padyam, and one is called Snan. Padyam is the worship of the Lord's feet. This is done when the Lord is received onto the Snan Vedi, the bathing receptacle, by the Pujaris, along with Achminiyam, Argyam, and Madhuparkam. Snan is bathing, and that's done from the head. So when each of you come forward with your conch shell, you bathe from the head, not from the feet. There's two purposes for that. One is the feet have already been worshipped, now the worship of the bath. When you step into a shower, the head gets wet first, not the feet. So you bathe the Lord from the top down. Secondly, when so many coming in and so many conch shells and moving abundantly, and this isn't so good either. So when you come forward and you're given the conch shell to bathe, you bathe from the top down. That's the request we have. And now, wonderful kirtaneers, Yadubar and Barahari Prabhu, that are going to lead us in kirtan. I always say that as a pujari, when you're doing the Abhishek, the one thing you want to do is you want to look out and see the Bhadraharis there leading kirtan. So this is one of those great chances since he's back home. Hare Krishna. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.